Well, it's always nice having Kevin.
It's nice to have Kevin on the show.
It is.
Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you. That was great. Three, two, one.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house. Welcome to the show, y'all.
Woohoo!
We've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on today. We got like an interview and then a bunch of games. How many games are we talking about today, Sarah?
I actually don't know.
That's okay. I think it might be 11.
11 games.
That's
coming
ridiculous.
To Kickstarter the week of something something.
So this is going to be like a hour long episode.
The week
double.
Of
buckle
super
up,
double
y'all.
Buckle bonus up. Episode.
February 19th is the week of.
Cool. So we've got Kevin Berkey from Table Game Toppers.
Game Toppers, LLC.
We'll be on the show just a little bit. Successful Kickstarter. Very cool story there. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Kickstarter going on right now.
We do. So many Kickstarters.
I know. It's a crazy world.
Our Kickstarter is funded.
It is. Yay. Thank you all. That's awesome.
We reached our first stretch goal.
Studio Awesome.
Woo-hoo.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And today was a good day.
It was. We're not that far from our next stretch goal.
Next stretch goal. We're reaching for the second camera angle.
Yeah, get that green screen going on.
Yep.
That'd be
cool.
Would be
and then onward
so
and
awesome.
Forward. Onward and forward to, I think the next one after that would be the 6,000 promo or 6,000 level would be
everybody.
Everyone above the $10 or $10 and above gets a free promo of their choice.
Yeah, so that's a pretty cool bonus. Help us get to that one and everybody.
Yeah, everyone wins.
Yeah. And so, then
keep sharing.
There's a couple other stretch goals buried in there. I think we should talk a little bit about one of them. I don't even think we've revealed it on the page yet.
Are we allowed to do that?
Ooh, spoilers.
So. Yeah,
which one
it.
Is this?
It might be revealed by the time they listen
yeah.
to this.
Yeah, a week from this recording.
Okay.
Definitely.
What is it, Will?
Talking primarily about Tantrum Con. So
okay.
We've got our local one, like the one game day trial version.
Okay.
Coming up in just like 2 weeks.
February 24th.
Greenville Library in downtown. We've got about, I think, 100-ish people registered to come to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anticipating there's a bunch more who haven't registered, and there'll probably be plenty of people who registered and don't come. But I think we're going to have a really good turnout.
Yeah.
And it's been exciting to see the response even from, like, Columbia and Atlanta. Yeah. Like, people are coming in for this one-day event.
It's because of the cool people.
Yeah.
Not us, but other people that will be there.
And Greenville is pretty awesome,
yep,
too.
So Richard Lanius will be there.
Yeah.
And Will Meadows.
Yeah. I think, is Pete Sherry coming?
Pete's coming, yep.
Just a bunch of cool people that are going to come hang out with us and making the trip. And
our local celebrity, Jay Du.
Yeah, we'll be hosting our Tantrum Trivia show.
Yep,
so
it'll be cool.
So it should be fun.
So talk to me about this level.
Stretch goal. Yeah.
That's where we were at.
Right. And I don't remember which number dollar amount
$15,000.
We got a ways to go.
Come on, people.
We can do it. We want to try to really put on like a full-on Tantrum Con 3-day board game convention.
Okay.
Not this year. It'd probably be like 2019.
Okay.
But I think if we can get the ground swell and the traction going this year.
If we can raise enough money, we can put a deposit.
Right.
For next
on a venue.
On a venue for next year. That's the main reason we're raising money.
Yeah. Yep. And if we do it in downtown Greenville, there's a beautiful park. There's lots of restaurants
of
and
restaurants.
Things
yes.
like that.
We have an award-winning downtown area, and it would be perfect for a con.
The space that we're looking at is, like, beautiful lighting, excellent, like, cool area to hang out with, lots of outdoor space, too, if it's nice weather, which it should be, because we'll pick a nice weather time.
Are we talking?
And it's
are we allowed
nice.
To say what the hotel is?
I think so. The Hyatt?
Yeah, the Hyatt, yep.
We've already done some price checking there, and I think it's within our budgeted range if we can, hit some stretch goals in either this year or maybe even next year, so.
Yep.
I think it's got potential. I'm excited. And the coolest part is that we've had some people contact us and say, hey, we run board game conventions. Mm-hmm. We think Greenville would be a great place for it.
And they want a partner.
Yes. And that is a good sign.
So we need you. I mean, your job now is to tell...
Get excited about it.
Yeah, to get excited and tell your friends about this. If you want to see a board game convention in Greenville in 2019, then you need to share...
The idea of Kickstarter.
Kickstarter to social media, tell it to your friends, email them.
Tell them about this podcast, start listening.
Text them, call them on the phone at midnight.
Send us a postcard.
Oh, no. Send us a postcard, yes. Don't call your friend at midnight.
Oh, okay. Why not, Katie?
Oh, well. The responsible voice.
Everybody should be asleep by then.
Okay.
Go to bed, y'all. All right. Let's do a shout out to our sponsor. Is that a thing?
Yeah, because we have Final Frontier Games is still our sponsor, and they have a game coming, which we actually talk about on this podcast.
This is the one?
This is the one.
Okay.
Robin Hood and the Merry Men by Final Frontier Games, and we'll talk about that soon, but we don't want to forget our local board game store, Boardwalk. And then Bezier Games, makers of awesome games like Castles of Mad King Ludwig and Palace of Mad King Ludwig.
And we play Werewolves Again.
Can we say that we are in talks and maybe, oh yes, the Game Steward.
Yeah, yeah.
That's confirmed.
Cool.
So Game Steward is going to do a year-long sponsorship with us as well. And
their show.
Yeah, their specialty is they look at Kickstarter games that maybe you didn't back, and you can go on that, on their page, thegamesteward.com. And you can back and you can order.
It's cool. It's like a storefront for Kickstarter games that have already gone that you can't really get easily anywhere else, or at least not all in one place. Mm-hmm. And it's got some great deals, and it's a pretty cool concept.
And I know that they have Rising Sun board games.
The one you've all been looking for.
Yes. From CMON. So if you missed...
With Kickstarter exclusive?
With Kickstarter exclusive. So if you go on the Game Steward, I don't know if they'll have it up yet, but I know they have them, so...
Do you think they'll have Game Toppers?
No. Well, I don't know. We can talk to Kevin about that.
We should find out. Let's go ahead and move into and welcome our first guest to the house. Let's say hello to Kevin. Hey!
Hey, how y'all doing?
Welcome back to the house.
That's right.
I've been on here before.
You are our first ever, I think, is that true? Returning house guest.
Woohoo!
Like just enough to come back. That's a good sign.
Welcome back.
Back in the day, that wasn't a good phrase to call somebody a two-timer, but in this context, it's fantastic.
That's good. So you ran a successful Kickstarter called Game Toppers.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, tell us how that felt, and tell us a little bit of the...
Give us the wrap-up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I tell you, it's such a wave of emotion as a first-time Kickstarter creator.
Oh, that was your
following
first one,
Kickstarter.
Too.
Yeah, it was my first one. And, you know, I've followed it. I gleaned information from Jamie Stegmaier and read his books and listened to his audio and Richard Bliss and other people, and really tried to learn. But as we went into that Kickstarter program, it's like... I mean, one day you're so excited you can't stand it. The next day you're scared to death.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's just one of these emotional roller coaster rides. But the community was like unbelievable. Yeah. When we get to it, I've got something I want to share from one of our backers, just to give you an idea once we get to it.
Okay.
How excited our backers were about this Kickstarter and how complimentary they were about how well things were run and how, I mean, these are super backers, you know, they back 250 projects and they're going, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I just can't wait. And they're just so excited. And
I think we
just carried all that momentum through the campaign and the Kickstarter, you know, we raised almost $495,000.
Wow, congratulations.
You know, thank you. It's just like, I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful, so thankful.
So tell us, you had two main things, right? You had the Game Toppers and you had the play mats, right? Those are the two main things, or do you have more?
Yeah, we had a ton of stuff. And what was so great about the Kickstarter is we were able to get that crowd feedback and be able to glean information from the community. We were able to adapt in the middle of it. We had our Game Toppers, but we had plans for a future Kickstarter where we would offer additional products. But because my manufacturer is right here in Minnesota, there's a quick turnaround and a really great relationships there. We were able to innovate quicker. Yeah, and that was fantastic. We were able to offer our Mycroft game topper, which was the big 48 by 72 Warhammer big honking table.
Yeah, I remember that. That's awesome.
Oh, people loved it, too, and that caused us to, you know, we had to adjust, and we had to modify. I had extra game mats then, and we had crowd participation with some of our high-density polypropylene cup holders and components that fit around the cleat of our game topper. And for those of you that don't know, of course, our game toppers turn your existing table into a high-quality game solution. Cup holders, thematic game trays. Our dice towers were something that Ben from Daedalus Production has done for us, and that was fantastic. Innovation. He made the Space Tower, the Castle Tower, and the Adventure Tower. In addition to player shields, because you can put cards right in the rail, and then you can put privacy shields, basically. We've got Rules Masters, where you can put your dungeon crawl book on, or your tablet. And we ended up with 10 different styles of thematic game mats.
Wow, that's
so
super.
So are you taking, now that the Kickstarter is over, I know you're still going through the fulfillment process, and stuff like that. Are you planning to have some orders that people can order stuff?
Pre-order
stuff?
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what we chose Backer Kit for our pledge manager.
Okay.
And I was so thrilled with these people. Their software was very powerful, and given all the options that ended up happening, caused our campaign to get really complex on the back end. Mm-hmm. And Backer Kit was fantastic to work with. But not only did it help us manage the campaign so we can officially get our orders out, it also allowed us to do a pre-order store. And so our Kickstarter backers will be fulfilled first, but then in our wave one shipment, because we did so well, I was able to order enough product to overproduce that we have some limited quantity of toppers available at special pre-order prices.
That's awesome.
So we've got a bunch of package deals. I think we've went through, you know, about 50 of them. In fact, I think we only may have about 200 toppers before we have to go to another production run.
Wow.
So what are some other lessons or takeaways from the campaign?
Well, I think one of the things for me that I learned, and probably I just got to give a lot of kudos to Jamie Stegmaier, and I've never really talked to him, to be honest. I've met him a couple times, but I've never talked to him about Kickstarter. But this man has really enriched my life with a lot of the things he shared with the community. And the thing that I admired that he did the most was that he just seemed to personally touch each person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made that commitment during the campaign. You know, I told my wife, I said, you know, this is a 35-day campaign. I said, I don't know what to expect, but
it is all consuming.
It's just good grief. From 6 a.m. in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. No joke.
Yes.
And 6 days a week.
And then
plus,
you got to catch up in the morning the next day.
it was a ride, but yeah, I managed over 5,000 personal interactions via Kickstarter website and did my best to reach out to every person, because everyone matters to me. So.
Yeah. And the other side of the world doesn't sleep when you're sleeping.
True. Very true.
So that was one of
the takeaways, was just that personal touch. I think the other thing is just to be able to, our campaign never got toxic at all. We didn't have any major problems, which I was really grateful.
That's great.
But concerns that people had, I was able to thoughtfully take that information and listen and see how I could, when I could get better, I would. And when I couldn't, this is what we can do right now. We're a new company, but I would love to accommodate this. And so we were able to innovate, I think, in that way, by listening to people. And I would encourage first-time creators to make a commitment to communicate with your people. We did like 5 live videos during the campaign.
Cool.
And people love that. They were very responsive to that.
That's cool. That's real cool.
So how is the process going right now? Where are you at in the process?
You know, it's gone very well. We've had a few little hiccups.
Okay.
We have 2 different styles of toppers, the standard aluminum rail, the luxuriant that has wood inlay, and one of the dies broke, which delayed the luxuriant, and so they had to remake the die.
Yeah, it's out of your hands.
That would be another takeaway, if you would, or advice I would give to people. When you have problems, you're going to have them.
Yeah.
And And I knew I would. I did my very best to mitigate with providing extra time and things of that nature. But you just can't control everything. Mm-hmm. You can't control when people don't do what they say. You can't control. You can do your best to, you know, have fallback positions. And I did. However, sometimes you just can't fix everything. And so the solution in my mind to that is just to be just as transparent and honest mm-hmm. as you can be. Yep. And when that problem arises, I said, you know, this is the problem. I said, I've worked really hard to see what I could do to make this better. But, you know, our standard toppers are going to go out first, and we're going to be about 2 to 3 weeks delayed on the luxuriant ones, which overall we're going to be really close to our projected delivery date. We might be a couple weeks out from what we had projected. So compared to Kickstarter yeah. problems, it's not so bad. But, you know, I have such a commitment to people are crazy excited. The,
yeah, you got that. So, yeah, so you would tell a first-time Kickstarter creator expect those problems. Would you give them any other advice?
Yeah, I think, you know, being transparent with the backers and having communication. Give yourself more time than you think. Whatever okay. time you think you need, double it. You know, maybe triple it. And, you know, I really wanted to be the hero and be like 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time. And I'm not quite the hero I was hoping I was going to be.
Yeah, well, we've all seen those campaigns that don't deliver for 2 years.
I know, so yeah.
Being this short of a turnaround time, you know, that's commendable. Excellent job on getting it done that well.
Well, thank you. We've got good partners, but everything takes longer than you think. And I think the biggest thing is to realize communication is not as fluid as you would expect. Mm. You know, when you have a multifaceted product, even in just a board game, you've got this proof and this proof. And if one of those things goes off, it has a cascading effect. And to get the communication back in line to even make a decision takes you a lot of time.
Cool. So what's next on the horizon? Are you looking at another version, another Kickstarter, going into manufacturing? Secrets?
I'm so pumped. We've got all kinds of ideas. We are working right now on our first prototype of a leg kit that can retrofit any of the mini toppers.
Whoa, that's so cool.
We are so pumped about this because a lot of people, this is something that blew me away during the campaign, is all of our game toppers, you can buy the accessory rail to convert it to a mini topper. Mm-hmm. And then you can use it on your coffee table or ottoman. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool feature. Well, people loved it. They bought one. Some of them bought two rails.
Wow.
And we made bundles for them because they wanted them so bad. I made a discounted price during the campaign. It was just fantastic. I can't believe it, actually. Well, so that happened. We thought, how can we provide, you know, particularly publishers where real estate is a premium in their booths? How can we provide them a leg solution so they don't have to rent a table, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Well, we came up with this design that it's the coolest looking thing. I wish I could show it to you, but they're a black metal leg that matches a table, and it actually inserts up into the existing corner brackets utilizing the same screw bosses. We're going to be able to offer these affordable, and we're just getting our prototypes in now. So if this works out like we think, we're going to have another thing to offer, and we have a couple other sizes, and we have something else that's going to be a game topper compatible item. And
okay.
When people,
that's all you're going to tell us. All right, we'll take it.
and it's going to revolutionize game spaces.
What? Awesome.
So if we can make it happen, you're not only are you going to have this awesome game table with all these cool accessories, you're going to have some other stuff that gamers love. So
when do we need to have you back in order to interview for that?
It's probably another that item is about 6 months down the road, but we're already working on it. So we're building game toppers.
So fall time. Sounds good.
Yeah.
we want some sustainability with the company. You know, we really want to keep innovating, keep getting better.
Cool.
So you teased us at the beginning of the interview about this backer. Someone created something. Talk to us about this.
Well, like I told you, that the backers have been so awesome. I love these people. I feel like I know them. You know, I've interacted so many. And this gentleman, his name is Christopher Ballinger. And he sent a Kickstarter message to me, And he said I could have his permission to do this. But he said, I don't know about you folks, but the anticipation I feel right now reminds me of being a kid again, waiting for Christmas morning. With that in mind, and with sincere apologies to Mr. Clement Clark Moore, I might have a little fun. The night before game night. 'Twas the night...
This is great.
'Twas the night before game night, and all through the day, the excitement was growing. I can't wait to play. A house was all ready, the front door to gable, but no one was missing except my game topper table. The game room seemed empty, so cold and so dreary. It made my soul sad. It made my heart weary. It cannot be helped, I finally said. There's nothing to be do. I must just go to bed. So there I was sleeping, my wife gently snoring, when a noise woke me up. It came without warning. I thought to myself, what's making such a clatter? So I sprang from my bed to see what's the matter. I snuck down the steps, just me and my jammies, wood bat in hand, in case I need to give a whammy. And there in my game room, the intruder he stood, but I knew his intentions were good. His eyes were a twinkle, goatee white as snow, and the ends of his mustache curled in a bow. He wore a tall hat. He looked just so quirky. I knew in a moment that it must be St. Berkey. He said not a word, but went straight to his work. He assembled my Watson and then turned with a jerk. And as I was thinking, what a great place to game, he held out his hand and I heard him explain. I'm sorry it's late. I wanted everything right. Sure hope you enjoy it. And have an awesome game night.
Yay! Good job. That's fantastic. I love it. That's
great. Wow, that's so awesome. Really cool. Really cool. So tell us, convention season is upon us. Will we be able to see you at conventions, or is this new game topper business taking too much of your time?
Oh boy, I am going to need to hire a logistics manager, I gotta tell you. Because I am swamped. I'm really doing three jobs. But yeah, in fact, I'm heading this weekend to Con of the North in Minneapolis.
Cool.
I'm going to be gone just for a few days with my wife. And then I get back and I head out to SaltCon.
Okay.
In Salt Lake City. I'm going to be a partial co-sponsor with Ben from Daedalus at SaltCon. Oh, cool. So that's fantastic. Cool. I'll be out there for 4 days. I come home, going to be at the Fulfillment Center for a couple days. And then I go to Miniature Market is opening a superstore in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
Now,
cool.
Now get this, 7,500 square foot store with 3,500 square feet dedicated to gaming.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
It's going to be a fantastic place. And Steve bought 6 of the Holmes tables and 6 of the Mycrofts for their grand opening. I'm also going to be there with Robert Oren, and we're going to be doing a live YouTube channel kind of media extravaganza for the grand opening. So that's going to be super fun. And right from there, St. Louis, I drive back to Minneapolis to drop off my vehicle, and I fly out to go to the Gamma Trade Show.
Okay, cool.
You're a busy man.
So I'm super swamped. But then after that, we're going to be at Geekway of the West.
Okay.
It's going to be exciting. We are going to be at Origins.
We'll see you there then.
Awesome. Origins it is. We'll definitely have to get some gaming in.
Sounds good.
Then we're going to be at Dice Tower Con.
Sure.
Cool.
And we will be at Gen Con and for sure BGG Con.
Cool. We'll see a few of those.
That'll be awesome. Well, before we close out here, tell us where our listeners can find you and all about Game Toppers.
Well, thank you. You can check us out in a lot of different ways, but the website is GameToppersLLC.com. GameToppersLLC.com. If you go to Kickstarter and type in Game Toppers LLC, you can also go there. You can see the campaign, but you can click the late pledge manager or the pre-order store. Same thing on the website. You can see our pre-order specials. They're in limited availability. I really think I'm not going to have these very long. So if you want a topper before our next production run, you know, later this summer, that's a good opportunity.
Cool.
You'll check us out on Facebook, Game Toppers LLC. Twitter is Game Toppers LLC. And of course, if in the media side of things, you can always check out Berkey and Badger's Board Game Babble podcast or Board Game Theater. And half the time I'm cross, you know, sharing all that stuff. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Berkey, for being on the show with us. We've had a blast.
Yeah, it's been like, awesome.
You got some really cool stuff ahead of you. So congratulations on that again. And we'll see you at Origins. And yeah, we'll have to figure out what's going on this fall when your new stuff comes out.
That's right. All right, Berkey. Thank
we're
going
to have to get you a game topper for your set. That's what we
have
to do.
There we go. That's what we need
then,
to work on.
Then your videos are going to, I mean, they're already like crazy awesome, but
next level.
There it is.
That's super cool. We'll talk about that soon. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
All right, guys. Hey, have a good one.
Well, it's always nice having Kevin from Game Toppers on the show.
Yeah, we can say that because we've had him more than one time. Huh?
Yes, and we're going to jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
All right, Katie, you're going to start us off.
All right.
What you got?
Yes. So I have Kami-sama by Colossal Games. It's coming out February 19th. In this game, it is a Japanese setting, and you are playing nature spirits, trying to balance your connection with nature while also seeking the favor of the villages. So it's 2 to 4 players. It says it's about 60 to 90 minutes to play this game. It's got some really neat things going for it. It's got this round rotating board, which is kind of interesting. I'm not sure how that really plays into the
game. Does it look like Sulken, or what does it look like?
I wouldn't say that it's like, it's not like tons of gears like Sulken, but it looks like the entire thing moves and slides.
Wow, cool.
And yeah, I'm not really sure how it all works yet, but it looks pretty interesting. So it's got this area control, you've got card drafting, there's a little bit of take that because, you know, as you're trying to seek favor from the villagers, you might be messing up somebody else's shrine that they've built, you know, things like that. It also mentions that there's asymmetrical player powers, which is kind of interesting. I always like that. And yeah, it just looks like there's a lot of components. The art looks really nice. So yeah, check it out. February 19th. Ryan.
I want to give a brief shout out to Edge of Darkness, coming February 20th. This is a game by John Clare, the creator of the card crafting game Mystic Veil.
Oh yeah, with AEG. Awesome.
And we're going to actually get into that a little bit more next week, but we did want to mention it this week because it is coming out this week on Kickstarter on the 20th. But we actually have an interview next week with John.
Cool.
So we'll go more in depth next week.
Cool.
Will, what do you have?
I'm looking at the game Infinity's Defiance of Fate. Ooh. I think all the rest of the games we're talking about come out on the 20th.
Pretty
right?
Much. Well, there's
a couple more.
A couple more later, but we got a lot on February 20th.
This one is pretty interesting. It caught my attention, first off, because the very first pictures I saw of it looked atrocious. And I thought, oh, what is this? But I think those were very early prototypes because they've now got a bunch of new, really cool looking artwork. And the game sounds pretty fascinating. It's like, it's set in a fantasy / sci-fi world. So that's always exciting.
So huh. Elf space racers.
I think so, something like that. Basically, there's some like portals Shadow that have been Run. Opened and all the like different multiverses are connecting and you can travel between them. It's got some really cool dice with cool icons and fun stuff on them. Lots of card powers. It sounds like there's 2 different modes to the way you can play the game. You can play like a skirmish where you are just trying to collect points and trying to get more points than your other opponents, and you have like randomized objectives that you're trying to do each time. And then they also have an adventure mode where you've kind of got this story scenario thing that's built up as you go throughout it. So it looks pretty slick. There's a lot of pieces to it. There's a bunch of different like tableaus that your characters are on that you add cards to and give yourself new abilities and things. And I love the box cover art. Very slick. Just lots of cool stuff going on. It's from designer Stephen Barry. And yeah, coming to Kickstarter. Check it out. Sarah, what do you got?
I'm going to talk about Yakronyms coming to Kickstarter on February 20th as well. This is from publishers called Company 11. And this is a fun party game we've got to play several times. There's not a whole lot of info or photos on BoardGameGeek at all.
Check out our review.
Yeah, we have a review.
You guys have a video review, and it's out.
It is. We've played this with our kids. We've played it with some very large groups. It doesn't have...
sort of limit necessarily on player count.
Yeah, you'd have to come up with some of your own paper components if you wanted to do over, I think the game, the prototype we had components for six players, but you can definitely play more than that. And basically you're going to roll some alphabet dice and you'll roll four of them and whoever is the judge for the round will choose the order. And everyone else will have a set time to come up with some type of acronym using those letters.
To impress the judge.
And, yep. Yeah. And if you win, you get this really fun little yak mini, and whoever has the most at the end wins.
We should have played it. Maybe another time.
Yeah. Yes. It's a quick one. It's fun. I think the best part of it is how quick it is because you're not writing long sentences or things that take a long time to think of. So it's pretty quick to jump in and play.
Yeah. And it adapts for different age groups. Younger kids will play simpler words, and older people can play stuff that's more funny. Although from what I understand, the more PG things that were played were your kids.
Right.
Yeah. PG-13 reaching into the... Yeah, when you have
9-year-old boys.
Yeah, 9-year-old boys, the bathroom humor comes out. So. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin, what do you got?
Let's move on to Donning the Purple. And this is from Toppet Games, and it is coming February 20th. It is about the Roman Empire, and you are trying to become the emperor. It's got some asymmetrical system to it with King of the Hill, plus a little bit of worker placement. You are trying to become the emperor, like I said. It's for 1 to 3 players, so lower player count, and it's 70 to 90 minutes. Got some cool artwork, so look forward to Donning the Purple coming out February 20th. Melissa.
Well, on February 21st, Robin Hood and the Merry Men from Final Frontier Games is coming out. We've talked about it several times on the podcast.
Yeah, we had Martin Poole on last week.
Yes. I finally got to play it last week. That was cool.
Have we all played it?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And we have a playthrough video on YouTube, and we're going to have a preview video, so there's a lot of content there you can find out about it. It's a 2-4 player game. It's semi-cooperative because you can all lose, but there is only one winner if you actually make it to the end of the game.
Yes. It's very thematic.
It is. It's very cool,
So you're playing as different heroes, and you have to fight guards and rob carriages, and it's worker placement with a little bit of card play as
well. Dice battle with a little push your luck dice battle.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't spoil anything. You have to watch our playthrough video with how well some people rolled and how not well other people rolled.
There are definitely some moments in the video.
Look for those moments.
Yeah. The cool thing about the game that I enjoyed, though, is that if you don't like the dice rolling, like, you can avoid 90% of it and play like a very straightforward Euro game. But if you like that and you want to do the push your luck, then you've got that whole option to play it. That's pretty cool.
Right. You can definitely hedge your bets a little bit by rolling more dice or preparing better in some of the areas.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All right, Katie.
Back to you.
Well, I don't have anything else, so back to Will.
Oh, cool. All right, my turn. The Big Score is coming from Van Ryder Games on February, probably Tuesday, I don't know. And
20th, yep.
February designer 20th. Jason Mowry and Chase Williams and AJ Porfurio. Cool last name, man. It's another robber type of game. I just talked about the Kamansky Caper, I think, a week or two ago. This one has a somewhat similar theme where you are, there's like the big score. There's a huge bank with all kinds of things in it. You, as a robber, are not cool enough yourself to go rob it. So at the beginning of the game, you have to actually recruit. It's kind of like Ocean's 11-ish, maybe? You have to recruit other talented robberers to come with you, and it's a card drafting part of the game. It's a two-part game. So first you're just kind of building your team and getting your powers and your abilities, and then the second part is actually going to go loot the place and score the big money. The cool thing is, I guess, that everybody's kind of cooperatively breaking into the bank, but then when you get into the bank, it's every man for himself. And so you got to kind of make it out at that point with the monies. It looks like it's pretty much just a card game. There's some tokens and tiles and things. I don't know exactly how the game mechanics work, but I like the theme a lot. The box cover artwork looks really sharp. And I think this one sounds like it could be a lot of fun. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I am looking at Draconis Invasion, and they have an expansion coming. This is a deck-building game that was on Kickstarter a couple years ago, and it funded very well. This is from publisher Keji Incorporated, and it's a very straightforward deck builder, similar to Dominion, starting off with, but then it also has a portion where you will be fighting invaders that are coming in. It's got excellent artwork. The gameplay is great. We've got to play the base game and now the expansion. Some things the expansion brings to the table are in the base, it has an ABCD mode of play. So you have A, an action, and then you must choose from B, C, or D, which is buying, gaining campaign cards, or defeating the invaders. And the expansion adds another element, E, which is eliminating cards from your deck, which is really nice. And deck builders, you really need to
make... It's so alliterated.
Yeah, it is. It's great. You need to not only gain good cards, but get rid of some of the junky cards in your deck when you're playing. So if you have a bad hand, it's a good way to, gives you another option to better your deck as you're playing.
I would admit that one of the things that I didn't like as much about Draconis is I felt like they kept throwing, what are those bad guy cards?
The terror cards.
The terror cards. Oh, I had so many in my hand. So I'm actually looking forward. I haven't tried the expansion yet, but I'm looking forward to being able to eliminate those cards from my hand.
Yeah, something else the expansion brought was there are cards that allow you to place cards in other people's decks, which is a little bit of take that to it, and it was very interesting. I don't know of any other deck builders. I'm not sure if any of the Dominion expansions. I'm gonna play all of them.
A couple maybe where you can stick
stick cards in other people's decks.
Yes, some of them you can trade out cards and trash someone's good card and put their junky card into there.
Yes. So there's a little bit of that in the expansion. And something else that I love about Draconis is that it has a catch the leader mechanic. I feel like if, especially with Dominion, if there's a runaway leader, there's not really much you can do about that.
Right.
And this
one, I was
like,
at Draconis? No. I like barely defeated anybody.
No, yeah. Dominion. You got the engine where I'm
yeah,
like,
if you get your engine going, it's hard to stop anybody. Draconis puts a limit on that, and people who are in the lead get punished just a little bit by adding terror cards into their deck or making them have a smaller hand for that next round. So I like that. It also puts a time limit on it, so you can't just forever be building up your deck with all these amazing cards. You have to get your engine going quicker and using them. All right, Kevin.
All right, we have just a quick shout out to two more board games. One is from Nathan Everett, and it's War of Supremacy. It's a 2-5 player game. And the other one is Kaiju Conquest, and that's coming. They're both coming on February 20th. Just want a quick shout out. I don't know that much about them, but I did want to shout out that I know that they're both coming on February 20th. So February 20th is going to be a pretty big day. So look forward to that. Those two as well.
I think we're close to wrapping up, but did I hear that the Valentine's Day plans that were successful? What's the...
Birthday Valentine.
Birthday of Valentine.
Birthday slash Valentine.
Yeah, well, Saturday before Valentine's, we went to Saskatoon's, which is this really cool lodge-like restaurant where you can get some exotic meats. So we tried alligator, an appetizer, and then antelope, red stag, ostrich, and kangaroo. Like, there was a sampler plate.
How do we know that they're really them?
Well, yeah.
That's what Ryan
said. The alligator was kind of like chicken nuggets, and everything else was, well, this is just different flavored beef. Like, it's all red meat.
No, kangaroo had a distinctly sweet...
Australian?
red pepper taste to it.
Just a seasoning.
It had a little bit of a bounce to it.
Bite.
No, they just like grilled them. You know, so you got to taste it.
Yeah, did you know?
The marinating sauce.
No, I didn't.
But no, we have tried the kangaroo at Saskatoon.
Yeah,
so
it was pretty good. I remember the crocodile being a little disappointing, though. Very chicken nugget-ish, I agree.
Yeah.
It was like,
my favorite, by far, ostrich.
Okay.
That is where it's at.
And I made Katie open her birthday present early because I couldn't wait.
The blanket.
I was very
excited. Remember this.
Yes.
But it's a different blanket.
What? The blanket, the weighted blanket, was her Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And then I gave her her birthday present.
Snuggie.
It was. Yes. Kevin knew.
Yeah. Maybe he picked it up at your house and delivered it.
It was pretty awesome. And now I just like sit on the couch and I'm like, I just like melt into it.
All I have
it.
To say is pumpkin and I'm good to go.
Does it have like meeples on it or anything cool? Like what's the pattern for the...
It's just... Teal.
Yeah,
a teal snuggie.
So Katie likes curling up on the couch with a blanket. That's like her thing. It finally clicked. Like, this is what she needs.
Does it have anything to do with your heater still not working? Did you guys get that figured out?
No.
Unrelated.
It is 70 degrees at Greenville, so you don't need the heater.
I curl up in a blanket during the summer.
Yeah, there's an old English word, I guess, called gruffling. Where someone is very comfortable when they should be doing something else. Instead, they're lying in bed comfortable. And that's
me. I like to wrap up gruffling.
Is that like a gruffalo? Is that where that comes from?
I don't know. It might be related.
Well, hopefully you have enjoyed cuddling up with us. That sounded wrong. Another great podcast episode. Until next time, we'll see you then.
Bye! Don't forget to back us on Kickstarter.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!